faster, more intense.
So apparently, there's a small group of cultists, part of a breakaway Jewish sect called Christanians or something like that. You won't have heard of them. Around the time of Saturnalia, bang slap on top of the winter solstice, they stave off imminent starvation by giving gifts and generally huddling together against the cold. They worship a red-cloaked figure of plenty who visits with a sack full of presents.
He said sack.
And gives his flock a tiny flicker of hope at the bleakest time of the year. In that tradition, we at the Speakeasy are also in a giving mood. I'm Rob Wickings.
And I'm Clive Ashenden. Today, we're offering the second of our Tales for X and HTmas.
Snappy, huh?
With a heartwarming story of the possessed undead and heavy weaponry plucked from the pages of The Dead Files, Volume 3.
Now available at versepublishing.com and at Amazon. Just search for The Dead Files, Volume 3.
This time it's a tale from our resident sociopathic loner, Rob Wickings.
My tale of cheer amidst the outbreak of the zombie apocalypse is entitled Sleigh Ride, and will be read to you, lucky listeners, by our resident smooth-talking leading man, Mr. Clive Ashenden.
Hello there.
Hello. So, settle back, pour yourself a pint of eggnog, and enjoy as Clive straightens his bow tie, pulls in his carband one last notch, and oozes honey into your ear. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Sleigh Ride by Rob Wickings. We were 10 miles outside Barstow when the storm hit and Vixie flipped the Escalade. In the girl's defence, the wind-blasted snow came out of nowhere. However, the prosecution argues that she kept her eyes on the damn road and spent less time yakking a donner in the back. She never would have hit that rock in the first place, and we'd still be the right way up. So, we were in mid-air for a little bit, and time did that thing of slowing down, so a 5-second RTA seemed to go on for about a month and a half. We all screamed and flopped around the cabin for a bit. Then the car hit the tarmac and the world was full of noise and flying glass. The good thing about your standard SUV, those suckers are built to take a hit. As we crawled out of the upside-down car and took stock, at first it looked like as if we survived unscathed. A few bumps and bruises, but nothing serious. And then the Blitz tried walking and couldn't. Damn fool on those big biker boots he wore to finish up the grizzled leather boy look. Got his foot stuck under one of the seats, and the impact had damn near twisted his foot right off his ankle. The news got worse fast. The hit had popped a seam on the gas tank, and the Escalade was bleeding out on the highway. In the teeth of a storm, this was bad mojo. Vixie and Donna clung together and wailed. We all looked at the guy in charge. He stroked his long, white beard for a moment and gave the situation some thought. We were stuck in hard territory with an injured compatriot, no transportation, and no more than a couple of days' supplies. Stan Clausen had been a miracle work for all of us, the two girls, Blitz and me. But even I couldn't see what he was going to pull out of his bag of tricks this time. And the beard split into a grin, and he pointed a dark shape just visible through the trees. "Knew we were close," he said. "Vixen, you did us a favour. We would have driven straight past if you hadn't stopped when you did." Vixen smiled back and tossed him a foxy wink. She was heartbreak pretty, even under the road grime and fresh scrapes from the short flight she'd arranged for us. That was the great thing about Stan. He never judged, and he never blamed. And he always found the good part in any scenario, no matter how bad it looked. Stan clapped his hands. "Okay, Ramblers, saddle up. Carry up all you can carry." He fixed me with a long, searching look. "Rudy, you'll have to help your buddy. We can brace that leg, but he can't walk alone. We're heading through the tree line. It'll be rough on him." Blitz frowned. He hated the idea of looking weak in any way. In any normal situation, he would have been alpha dog in the pack. Here, Stan ruled without needing to ever assert his authority. The fact that he had a good 3 inches and easily 50 pounds on the biker kind of helped in that regard. "And best hurry," Stan said, sniffing the snow-thick air. "We're not alone out here." That snapped us into gear right quick enough. Blitz bitched and whined all the way through the trees. "Slow down, nerd boy," he yelled. Unless you want to drag me through the damn forest. I thought for a moment about doing just that, cold cocking him and using a fireman's lift. At least if he was unconscious, we could keep the decibels down to an acceptable level. Could I do it? Could I hit a man like that? I'd always lived a peaceful life, up until the sky had fallen. I'd never even picked up a gun. Until the flight out of Alamogordo, anyway. I'd killed a lot of people since then. No, you stop that now, Rudolf Rentier. You never put a bullet in anything that wasn't already dead. And then we were through the trees, and looking up at the place Stan had been pointing us towards for the last 3 days. A long, low block house, poured concrete and steel. Kind of wedge-shaped in cross-section, with the lower wall entirely given up to a thick steel rolling shutter. No attempt had been made to give the building any kind of roll charm. It was a bastard son of a warehouse and a goddamn fortress. "Honey, I'm home," said Stan, and strode ahead of us. He toted a couple of bulging canvas rucksacks, as if they were filled with cotton candy instead of canned goods. I swear, for a big man, he was damn light on his feet. We scrambled after, ungainly and stumbling. Vixie, thank Christ, ran over to give me a hand with the blitz. He was getting heavier with every step. I'm no weakling, but 3 days of running and fighting tend to suck the strength out of a guy. "It's going to be okay," Vixie said. "Stan knows what he's doing." Swear to God, that's a mantra I've learned to live by. It got me out of a strip club in New Mexico that was under siege by the Z's. It got us through the blockade at Las Cruces Crossroads. A screaming three-lane firefight that left hundreds of zombies mashed into the tarmac and the 4th Armored Rangers no more than a footnote to military history. No, I may not be the toughest guy in the block, but I learn fast. And I've learnt that Stan Clausen has a knack for keeping himself and the people under his care alive. Stan was at the low vestibule cut with sharp precision into the wall of the blockhouse. He ushered us close. "There are Z's everywhere," he said in a low voice. "They won't move until I power up the building. But they're close, and they'll move fast. I'm pretty sure they've been waiting for someone to come, so be ready." Z's have that weird mix of low cunning and animal ferocity. They must have heard us coming through the trees. They surely would have heard Blitz's bitching. Rather than attacking, they chose to wait and see what bounty waited for them on the other side of the blockhouse door. Don't let anyone ever tell you Z's are dumb. The nanotech outbreak that brought them back from the grave is very smart and very committed to one goal, the destruction of the human race. I had no doubt that shit was about to get very real. Stan tapped a string of numbers into a keypad by the door. "Ready?" he said. We all nodded. He hit one last button. Lights flared along the length of the building. The door clunked open. Zombies, dozens of them, broke from the trees and tore towards our position. "Move!" Stan booted the door open and flung his bags inside. Then he stepped to one side and pulled out a gun, a Sig Sauer P-556. It was tiny in his big hands. He started firing. Cam controlled 3-shot bursts. Headshots every one. Z's tumbled. We scrambled through the door. Panic gave me strength. I threw Blitz in as if he were a sack of potatoes. Stan stepped in behind us and waited. One last Z ran at him, arms and maw wide. He fired, emptying his mag into the creature's face. It fell back, headless. He slammed the door on it. Then he turned to us and smiled. "Gentlemen, ladies, welcome to the Storm Cellar. This place is an offshoot of the Marine Corps Logistics Base, back down the I-40 at Basto," Stan said. We were huddled around a loose stack of lights and heaters, and drinking real coffee and eating real waffles. The place was a treasure house of military equipment, racks of weapons, food and supplies for a regiment. In one corner, a loosely draped, hard-edged shape that looked like 3 Hummers having a chain fuck. "Will we be safe here?" asked Donna. She was weaker-willed than her friend Vixie. She He was no fighter either. The idea of sanctuary must have seemed very sweet to her. To be honest, I think he did to us all. "We will," Stange said. "The storm cellar was set up for situations just like this. Overspec the small groups of survivors to hold up, resupply, and figure out a plan." "So what is the plan, Stan?" With his bad foot propped up and braced in carbon fiber, Blitz was starting to regain his charm. "We just hide out here and wait for the New World Order to arrive? Start afresh? Start breeding?" He leered at Donna, who flinched away. "We can do that," Stan said. "But the Z's know we're here. And the call's gone out. The nano swarm will throw everything at us. They'll come, and they'll come, and they'll find a way in. I like the idea of resting as much as the rest of you. But we can't stay." He was right, damn it. You could hear the scrape and whisper of the inhuman puppets outside, going over the defences inch by patient inch. "So, what do we do?" Vixie, feline and warm at my side. Afraid, sure, but not letting it cloud our judgement. I was already three-quarters in love with her. "I'm glad you asked," Stan said. "Check this out." He rose to his feet, lithe as gymnast. We followed him as he marched over to the cloaked shape in the corner. He flung off the top. The vehicle was part truck, part tank, part bulldozer, part Batmobile. It crouched, lean and hungry on 8 fat wheels. Armored like a stag beetle, it bristled with gun ports. "The Damnation Express," said Stan. "Electric fuel cell drivetrain. Batteries will last for weeks between recharges. More brake horsepower than a Ferrari California. Fully armored, fully loaded. I say we load her up and head north. I know people. This'll get us there in style." "Stan," said Blitz with wonder in his voice. "Who the fuck are you?" Stan grinned. "Just a guy who likes his toys." After that, there was no discussion, and a whole lot of work while the noises outside grew louder and more insistent. Soon, the express groaned under the weight of supplies. We took our places. Stan was up front, snug as a bug in the driver's nest. Blitz was on the heavy gun turret. I let him have that much. Me and the girls at the ports, behind a triad of Peshneks. Donna, breathing hard but relaxed and ready. Vixie was wide-eyed and grinning. She leaned over and kissed me, full on the mouth. "For luck," she said. "Here we go," Stan bellowed, and touched a stud. With a clunk, the rolling shutter ahead of us began to open. The Z's behind it began to claw and scramble inside. Stan gunned the engine. It howled like a pack of hungry wolves. He began to laugh. A big booming thing that was unequal for the racket from the drivetrain. He shoved it into gear, and the express leapt forwards, smearing Z's to red pulp under its wide tread. We started firing, the thump and hammer of Blitz's M240 up against the rattle of our lighter guns. A Z leapt up onto my port, and I blasted it to shark chum. The Damnation Express screamed out through the open shutter, swerved, and smashed through the tree line, scattering Z's at 80 miles an hour. Back onto the highway, building up speed and heading north. Vixie dropped her gun and pulled me in close for another kiss. It was December 25th. Best goddamn Christmas Day ever.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Christmas, as I believe the Christa, whatever they always call it, is a time for giving. So
give. Please give.
If you'd like to give us a positive review of the podcast on iTunes, we'd be very, very grateful. Thanks again for listening.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Have a happy Christmas. Speak to you in 2014.